Chapter 28. A New Thread in the Pattern. Perrin watched the mountains of Kinslayer's Dagger uncomfortably as he rode. The way still slanted upwards and looked as if it would climb forever, though he thought the crest of the pass must not be too much further. To one side of the trail, the land sloped sharply down to a shallow mountain stream, dashing itself to froth over sharp rocks. To the other side, the mountains reared in a series of jagged cliffs, like frozen stone waterfalls. The trail itself ran through fields of boulders, some the size of a man's head, and some as big as a cart. It would take no great skill to hide in that. The wolves said there were people in the mountains. Perrin wondered if they were some of Fane's dark friends. The wolves did not know or care. They only knew the Twisted Ones were somewhere ahead. Still far ahead, though Ingtar had pressed the column hard. Perrin noticed that Una was watching the mountains around them much the way he himself was. Matt, his bow slung across his back, rode with seeming unconcern, juggling three colored balls, yet he looked paler than he had. Verin examined him 2 and 3 times a day now, frowning, and Perrin was sure she had even tried healing at least once, but it made no difference Perrin could see. In any case, she seemed to be more absorbed in something about which she did not speak. Rand, Perrin thought, looking at the Aes Sedai's back. She always rode at the head of the column with Ingtar, and she always wanted them to move even faster than the Shinaran lord would allow. Somehow she knows about Rand. Images from the wolves flickered in his head. Stone farmhouses and terraced villages, all beyond the mountain peaks. The wolves saw them no differently than they saw hills or meadows, except with a feeling that they were spoiled land. For a moment he found himself sharing that regret, remembering places the Two Legs had long since abandoned, remembering the swift rush through the trees and the hamstringing snap of his jaws as the deer tried to flee, and with an effort he pushed the wolves out of his head. These Aes Sedai are going to destroy all of us. Ingtar let his horse fall back beside Perrin's. Sometimes, to Perrin's eyes, the crescent crest on the Shinaran's helmet looked like a Trolloc's horns. Ingtar said softly, "Tell me again what the wolves said." "I've told you 10 times, Perrin muttered. "Tell me again. Anything I may have missed, anything that will help me find the horn." Ingtar drew a breath and let it out slowly. "I must find the horn of Valyr, Perrin. Tell me again." There was no need for Perrin to order it in his mind, not after so many repetitions. He droned it out. "Someone or something attacked the Dark Friends in the night and killed those Trollocs we found." His stomach no longer lurched at that. Ravens and vultures were messy feeders. "The wolves call him, or it, Shadow Killer. I think it was a man, but they wouldn't go close enough to see clearly. They are not afraid of this Shadow Killer. Awe is more like it. They say the Trollocs now follow Shadow Killer, and they say Fane is with them." Even after so long, the remembered smell of Fane, the feel of the man, made his mouth twist. "So the rest of the Dark Friends must be too." "Shadow Killer," Ingtar murmured. "Something of the Dark One, like a Murdral? I have seen things in the Blight that might be called Shadow Killers, but did they see nothing else?" "They would not come close to him. It was not a Fade. I've told you, they will kill a Fade quicker than they will a Trolloc, even if they lose half the pack." "Ingtar, the wolves who saw it passed this to others, then still others before it reached me. I can only tell you what they passed on. And after so many tellings..." He let the words die as Uno joined them. "A human in the rocks," the one-eyed man said quietly. "This far from the waste," Ingtar said incredulously. Uno somehow managed to look offended without changing his expression, and Ingtar added, "No, I don't doubt you. I am just surprised. He flaming wanted me to see him, or I likely wouldn't have." Uno sounded disgusted at admitting it. "And his bloody face wasn't veiled, so he's not out for killing. But when you see one bloody Yael, there's always more you don't." Suddenly his eye widened. "Burn me if it doesn't look like he bloody wants more than to be seen." He pointed. A man had stepped into the way ahead of them. Instantly, Massima's lance dropped to a couch, and he dug his heels into his horse, leaping to a dead gallop in three strides. He was not the only one. Four steel points hurtled toward the man on the ground.
Hold! Ingtar shouted. Hold, I said! I'll have the ears of any man who doesn't stop where he stands!
Massima pulled in his horse viciously, sawing the reins. The others also stopped in a cloud of dust not 10 paces from the man, their lances still held steady on the man's chest. He raised a hand to wave away the dust as it drifted toward him. It was the first move he had made. He was a tall man, with skin dark from the sun and red hair cut short except for a tail in the back that hung to his shoulders. From his soft, laced knee-high boots to the cloth wrapped loosely around his neck, his clothes were all in shades of brown and gray that would blend into rock or earth. The end of a shorthorn bow peaked over his shoulder, and a quiver bristled with arrows at his belt at one side. A long knife hung at the other. In his left hand, he gripped a round hide buckler and three short spears, no more than half as long as he was tall, with points fully as long as those of the Shinaran lances.
I have no pipers to play the tune, the man announced with a smile. But if you wish the dance.
He did not change his stance, but Perrin caught a sudden air of readiness.
My name is Urien, of the Two Spires, Sept of the Rain Aiel. I am a Red Shield. Remember me.
Ingtar dismounted and walked forward, removing his helmet. Perrin hesitated only a moment before climbing down to join him. He could not miss the chance to see an Aiel close up.
Acting like a black-veiled Aiel.
In story after story, Aiel were as deadly and dangerous as Trollocs. Some even said they were all dark friends. But Urien's smile somehow did not look dangerous despite the fact that he seemed poised to leap. His eyes were blue.
He looks like Rand.
Perrin looked around to see that Matt had joined them too.
Maybe Ingtar's right, Matt added quietly. Maybe Rand is an Aiel.
Perrin nodded. But it doesn't change anything.
No, it doesn't.
Matt sounded as if he were talking about something beside what Perrin meant.
We are both far from our homes, Ingtar said to the Aiel, and we, at least, have come for other things than fighting.
Perrin revised his opinion of Urien's smile. The man actually looked disappointed.
As you wish it, Shinaran.
Urien turned to Varen, just getting down off her horse, and made an odd bow, digging the points of his spears into the ground and extending his right hand, palm up. His voice became respectful.
Wise one, my water is yours.
Varen handed her reins to one of the soldiers. She studied the Aiel as she came closer.
Why do you call me that? Do you take me for an Aiel?
No, wise one. But you have the look of those who have made the journey to Rhydion and survived. The years do not touch the wise ones in the same way as other women, or as they touch men.
An excited look appeared on the Aes Sedai's face, but Ingtar spoke impatiently.
We are following dark friends and Trollocs, Urien. Have you seen any sign of them?
Trollocs? Here?
Urien's eyes brightened.
It is one of the signs the prophecies speak of. When the Trollocs come out of the Blight again, we will leave the threefold land and take back our places of old.
There was muttering from the mounted Shinarans.
Urien eyed them with a pride that made him seem to be looking down from a height.
The threefold land? Matt said.
Perrin thought he looked still paler. Not sick, exactly, but as if he had been out of the sun too long.
You call it the waste, Urien said. To us, it is the threefold land. A shaping stone to make us, a testing ground to prove our worth, and a punishment for the sin.
What sin? Matt asked.
Perrin caught his breath, waiting for the spears in Urien's hand to flash. The Aiel shrugged.
So long ago it was that none remember. The wise one and the clan chiefs, they will not speak of it. It must have been a very great sin if they cannot bring themselves to tell us. But the Creator punishes us well.
Trollocs, Ingtar persisted.
Have you seen Trollocs?
Urien shook his head.
I would have killed them if I had, but I have seen nothing but the rocks and the sky.
Ingtar shook his head, losing interest, but Varen spoke, sharp concentration in her voice.
This, Rydion, what is it? Where is it? How are the girls chosen to go?
Urien's face went flat, his eyes hooded.
I cannot speak of it, wise one.
In spite of himself, Perrin's hand gripped his axe. There was that in Urien's voice. Ingtard also set himself, ready to reach for his sword, and there was a stir among the mounted men. But Varen stepped up to the Aiel until she was almost touching his chest and looked up into his face.
I am not a wise one as you know them, Urien, she said insistently. I am Aes Sedai. Tell me what you can say about Rydion.
The man who had been ready to face 20 men now looked as if he wished for an escape from this one plump woman with graying hair.
I can tell you only what is known to all. Rydion lies in the lands of the Gen'a'il, the 13th clan. I cannot speak of them except to name them. None may go there save women who wish to become wise ones, or men who wish to be clan chiefs. Perhaps the Gen'a'il choose among them. I do not know. Many go, few return. And those are marked as what they are, wise ones or clan chiefs. No more can I say, Aes Sedai. No more.
Varen continued to look up at him, pursing her lips. Urien looked at the sky as though he was trying to remember it.
Will you slay me now, Aes Sedai?
She blinked.
What? Will you slay me now? One of the old prophecies says that if ever we fail the Aes Sedai again, they will slay us. I know your power is greater than that of the wise ones.
The Aiel laughed suddenly, mirthlessly. There was a wild light in his eyes.
Bring your lightnings, Aes Sedai. I will dance with them.
The Aiel thought he was going to die, and he was not afraid. Perrin realized his mouth was open and closed it with a snap.
What I would not give, Varen muttered, gazing up at Urien, to have you in the White Tower, or just willing to talk. Oh, be still, man, I won't harm you, unless you mean to harm me with your talk of dancing.
Urien seemed astounded. He looked at the Shinarans, sitting their horses all around, as if he suspected some trick.
You are not a maiden of the spear, he said slowly. How could I strike at a woman who has not wedded the spear? It is forbidden except to save life, and then I would take wounds to avoid it. Why are you here, so far from your own lands? She asked. Why did you come to us? You could have remained in the rocks, and we would never have known you were there.
The Aiel hesitated, and she added,
Tell only what you are willing to say. I do not know what your wise ones do, but I'll not harm you, or try to force you. So the wise ones say, Urien said dryly. Yet even a clan chief must have a strong belly to avoid doing as they want.
He seemed to be picking his words carefully.
I search for someone. A man.
His eye ran across Perrin, Matt, the Shinarans, dismissing them all.
He who comes with the dawn. It is said there will be great signs and portents of his coming. I saw that you were from Shinar by your escort's armor, and you had the look of a wise one, so I thought you might have word of great events, the events that might herald him. A man?
Varen's voice was soft, but her eyes were as sharp as daggers.
What are these signs?
Urien shook his head.
It is said we will know them when we hear of them, as we will know him when we see him, for he will be marked. He will come from the west, beyond the spine of the world, but be of our blood. He will go to Rydion and lead us out to the threefold land.
He took a spear in his right hand. Leather and metal creaked as soldiers reached for their swords, and Perrin realized he had taken hold of his axe again, but Varen waved them all to stillness with an irritated look.
In the dirt, Urien scraped a circle with his spear point, then drew across it a sinuous line. It is said that under this sign he will conquer.
Ingtar frowned at the symbol, no recognition on his face, but Matt muttered something coarsely under his breath, and Perrin felt his mouth go dry.
The ancient symbol of the Aes Sedai.
Varin scraped the marking away with her foot.
I cannot tell you where he is, Urien, she said, and I have heard of no signs or portents to guide you to him. Then I will continue my search.
It was not a question, yet Urien waited until she nodded before he eyed the Shinarans proudly, challengingly, then turned his back on them. He walked away smoothly and vanished into the rocks without looking back. Some of the soldiers began muttering. Uno said something about crazy bloody Aiel, and Massima growled that they should have left the Aiel for the ravens.
We have wasted valuable time, Ingtar announced loudly. We will ride harder to make it up.
Yes, Varin said. We must ride harder.
Ingtar glanced at her, but the Aes Sedai was staring at the smudged ground where her foot had obliterated the symbol.
Dismount, he ordered. Armor on the pack horses. We're inside Kyrian now. We do not want the Kyrianen thinking we have come to fight them. Be quick about it.
Matt leaned close to Perrin.
Do you think he was talking about Rand? It's crazy, I know, but even Ingtar thinks he's Aiel.
I don't know, Perrin said.
Everything has been crazy since we got mixed up with Aes Sedai.
Softly, as to herself, Varin spoke, still staring at the ground.
It must be a part, and yet how? Does the Wheel of Time weave threads into the pattern of which we know nothing? Or does the Dark One touch the pattern again?
Perrin felt a chill. Varin looked up at the soldiers removing their armor.
Hurry,
she commanded with more snap than Ingtar and Uno combined.
We must hurry,